But this lesson this morning is connected with some phone calls and with some things I've observed as we've tried to get our plans going for this next year. It's important for us to understand that we don't have a full-time person, and so some of us try to take leadership to push the congregation to not sit still. I'm thankful for Carl getting the web in. I hope we can improve our phone situation so that when people call, they don't just get a number but get information. I hope that we can get our technology improved with what we're doing in our Bible classes. I hope that we can provide some better things for the young people. I hope that we can provide a more evangelistic outreach in the community. But I think all of those things have to do with us being unified and with us understanding and judging correctly what is being done and why. So this morning I want to talk about judging. I think it's important to understand that judging is not one thing. You know, we have people who like to quote the Bible, "Judge not that you be not judged." And by not looking at the context of that statement, they assume there's no such thing as judgment. But folks, the Bible is full of things that command us to judge. Judging is a pretty complex subject. And one of the things that will determine whether this congregation continues to have the unity and continues to have the progression forward that I believe we have had is our understanding God's judgment and understanding how we are to judge, what our priorities need to be, how we need to approach the different decisions we are making. And I've said in sermons sometimes in the past, not here so much, but if I don't get to you now, I'll get to you later, so stay with me, because I think we all struggle with issues here. All of us do. The first one maybe, and I have some of them listed on the board beside me, and I'll explain the division a little later, is hypocritical judging. I don't think we have that issue here, but I think it is an issue. We all know about Matthew 7, beginning with verse 1, where Jesus talks about judging and says, "Why do you try to take a speck out of your brother's eye when you got a plank in your own eye?" Yeah, you know, "I'll judge you if you're smoking, but I don't want to judge you on the way you eat." That's obvious why, isn't it? I think it's important to understand that the Bible is very explicit on this, though. Romans 2 and verse 1, "You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at what point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things." We need to be careful that in whatever judging we do, we're not hypocritical about our judging. I think that point's pretty obvious. There's a second point, though, that maybe is not so obvious, and we've had some discussion about this, and that is this business of discerning who is receptive to the gospel and who is not. I had three phone calls this week from people who were concerned that we are addressing the needs of certain people but not addressing the needs of all people. Why aren't we doing thus and so? Matthew 7 and verse 6, Jesus says, "Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." Brothers and sisters, we're not called to martyrdom. The reason we aren't sending somebody into downtown South Bend is that there are other programs that are taking place, and that's not our area. The reason we aren't doing a state fair is because we have enough trouble doing a local fair. I don't think that it's important for us to try and solve all the world problems. We need to solve our little corner of the world's problems. And boy, there's enough going on around here to keep us busy. Matthew 10 and verse 14, Jesus says, and this is a personal level, "If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet and leave that home or town." We can't teach everybody. And when somebody refuses to hear, there's a point where we have to say, okay, I'll go to someone else. So we're doing some work in the nursing home, but we can't talk to everybody in the nursing home. Not everybody will listen. We only have so many hours in a day. There's also the third type of judging I'd like to talk to you about is superficial judging. And this gets a little more personal, and I don't want to be offensive or misread here. John 7, verse 24, stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. Stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. I'm asking you not to write me off because I'm old. It's important we don't write those off who are young. I was thrilled that Sam got up and gave us a proposal. Yeah, she's young, she's beautiful, she's coherent, she speaks well, she looks good, she's got a family. And I'm old and ugly and decrepit and all that. But we're not to judge superficially. And if somebody walks in this door who is in rags or who smells bad or who reeks of smoke, or we have someone who has children that are doing some amazing things that we don't like, or people that have had a problem and they have fallen and gotten up and fallen and gotten up and fallen, and that's happened again and again and again and again and again, stop judging by mere appearances. Make a right judgment. We have to make a judgment about when to give up on somebody. Remember, I just talked about discerning who is receptive to the gospel. Receptivity. But I think it's important for us to understand that one thing that will keep us united is that we listen and honor everybody's judgment. Young, old, rich, poor. Brothers and sisters, let's not let ourselves get divided here over the fact that some of us are old and some of us are young. And we've had some of that in the last 2 weeks. So important. Superficial judging. The fourth type of judgment the Bible talks about is making an assessment. And this has become an issue. Acts 4 and verse 19, Peter and John replied, judge for yourself whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. We have to make judgments. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 15, the spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. Why have we done the highway cleanup? I had a call who said, it isn't the church's responsibility to clean up everybody else's garbage. I think there's been a misunderstanding of the purpose of cleaning up the highway. Walter isn't here this morning, but he will be here. And the only reason Walter's been with us is because of what happened with the highway cleanup. The other day when we were cleaning up the highway, Willard and I had a number of situations that we saw that have given me inroads in the community. It's important for us to say to this community, we want to be a part of this community. It's not the idea that we clean up garbage. It's the idea that we serve. When you're making an assessment, be sure you understand the basis of the assessment. A fifth type of judging the Bible talks about is making judgments on matters of opinion. And we've got an issue here. Romans 14 and verse 1, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. But then it goes on and says what disputable matters are. Special days are disputable matters. It says that. Issues of the world are disputable matters. Politics. And we need to be very careful here. You know, Matthew 2:22 and verse 21, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and unto God's the things that are God's. One of the unique things about Christianity is unlike Islam, unlike Hinduism, unlike Buddhism, unlike Baha'ism, unlike atheism, Christianity is not political. The early church functioned in a culture that was a dictatorship that had awful things done to the government. and the church flourished. John 18, verse 36, Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world." Matthew 24 and verse 6 says, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars." And there's wars going on in our government right now. And we have folks in this room that are very pro-Republican, folks in this room that are very pro-Democrat, people in this room that are very pro-independent. And there's probably four or five other classifications in there. I want to tell you something, just a personal thing. When Cindy and I got married, one of the things that she advised me about, and she was very concerned whether her family would accept me or not, for good reasons. And she warned me that her family was very political. And she even told me about what branch was where. And it's an interesting situation. One of her sisters was the wife of a Democratic congressman in New Jersey who was recognized as one of the most liberal politicians in New Jersey, not saying quite a bit. The other one is an extremist Republican. And I say extremist, I mean she worships Rush Limbaugh. I went trout fishing with her husband, and in the middle of a lake in the top of the Rocky Mountains, he pulls out a portable radio and starts listening to Rush Limbaugh. I tried to have an accident and knock the radio into the lake, but he caught it. And it isn't that I didn't want him to be political. I didn't want to be political on a trout lake in the middle of the Rocky Mountains. So when we got there, and she warned me, we hadn't been there an hour, and these two women come trotting up to me. And if I had expressed my political views either way, I would have alienated one of those two sisters. Today they both love me. You know why? Because my statement to them was, I hate all politicians. And it has not been brought up since that time. Let me give you one other that shows you the effect. There's a group called the Dixie Chicks, country group, three talented women. The two sisters that were real musicians did not have a political view, but a girl named Mames, who was their lead singer, did. And while on a concert somewhere in Europe, she made an extremely derogatory comment about the President of the United States. You know what's happened? That group has been destroyed as far as their impact in country music is concerned. They're not invited to the shows. Their songs are not listed in the top 20 anymore. And now they quit singing the kind of music that made them famous. I think that's a tragedy. They can have their political views, but when it is expressed publicly as a part of their singing, it destroyed the purpose for which they had come together. And may I suggest to you the exact same thing is true here? I don't care whether you like Obama or not. I don't care whether you think the Republican Party is way off in the boonies or not. Brothers and sisters, don't bring this into the church and don't make this part of your position as a Christian. You can have your political views. That's not what I'm saying. This is a free country. But we need to be careful that this congregation is not identified as being Republican or being Democrat. We could have a horrendous argument here because I know there are people on both sides of the fence here. And God says, you don't do this. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God's. We also need to be concerned about final judgment. I got a very irritated woman who called me this week who said, I will never visit your church because you said that my husband is going to go to hell because he died and he was not a member of the Church of Christ. Well, the first thing I assured her was that I didn't say that. But the second thing is that we need to understand what our position needs to be on final judgment. Romans 14, beginning of verse 10. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. As it is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me. That's God. That's Jesus, not me. Every tongue will confess to God, so then each of us will give an account To who? To me? No. To the church? No. To God. Acts 10, verse 42, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as the judge of the living and the dead. I don't know how God's going to deal with situations where people have followed devoutly a religious system because they were misled. Patty's mother, you know, read the card. She loves us. But all she's ever known is a religious system. She's tried to follow that system. I don't know how God's going to judge that, do you? If God chooses to give mercy to someone who fails to do everything that he has said to do, that's God's business. It isn't up to me to be God. It isn't up to me to be judgment. What I found out with this woman was, no, I had not said that. She heard it on a radio station coming out of Benton Harbor by a preacher in the Church of Christ. And some of you know who it is. It's the same guy that spends his time judging members of the Church of Christ. And I told her that. I said, he's condemned me. What makes you feel so special, you know? It's important to understand here that we are not in the business of passing judgment on people. I believe we need to obey God. James says, for he that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. But how God deals with people who haven't had the opportunity to know, that's God's business. So I don't want to come out to this community as a group of people who run around condemning everybody else. And don't misunderstand me. I believe we need to obey God's plan. I believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. I believe what we do here is important. But I don't believe it's up to me to judge people who don't achieve 100% perfection, because I don't achieve 100% perfection. Or people that have great struggles because of the way they were raised. Final judgment. That's God's, not mine. Number 7, judging hearts and motives. 1 Corinthians 4, beginning with verse 3. I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. Do you question yourself? Boy, I do. I do. There are times when I wonder, why am I doing what I'm doing? There are times when I say, how can I get up and preach when I know how weak I am and how strongly I'm struggling? Proverbs 20 and verse 5 says, the purposes of a man's heart are deep waters. Oh my, yeah. But a man of understanding draws them out. I cannot know why you do what you do. And it's not up to me to judge your motives. I just encourage you to bring your life in conformity to what God has said. Another kind of judging, number 8, is disciplinary judging. We had a study of 1 Corinthians 5 back a couple of months ago, where there was a member of the church that was living in complete and total defiance of God's principles of how people should live. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5, beginning verse 12, what business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. You hear that? That's the same thing I just talked about in final judgment, isn't it? It's exactly what I just read to you. You are not to judge those outside. Expel the wicked man from among you. If we have people who are a part of this congregation and who are unrepentant, or who claim they are part of this congregation and do not have a repentant attitude, then we cannot identify them with us. We have people that have wanted to use our food pantry in their own name to the community. We can't do that, folks. I've had an article on that in the bulletin back about 2 weeks ago. We need to glorify God in what we do. And please understand, we're not refusing to serve people. What I've said to people who have been in this situation is, you tell us who needs the food, we'll go take it to them. But we're not going to have just anybody representing the church. And this passage makes it extremely clear. Number 9, judging disputes. 1 Corinthians 6, beginning with verse 2, we should always be able to sit down and settle our differences as brothers. The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you have been completely defeated. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? I would rather be wrong, I would rather be cheated than to be a person who brings discredit upon this body. We need to be careful that we understand the value we place on the church. And then there's critical judging, number 10. James 4, beginning with verse 11, brothers, do not slander one another. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that they may benefit those who listen. You hear that? Do you listen carefully to that? Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but that which is helpful for building up others. I don't care whether you think I'm a bum or not. I don't care whether you think I've made some terrible mistakes or not. I don't care if you think what I have tried to say or do is completely erroneous or not. As far as the community is concerned, I beg if you don't slander my name in the community. Because the problem is that if I'm associated with the church and my name is on this thing, if my name is associated with the church and you're telling the world everything that's wrong with me, then what has that done to the church? We need to be very careful to be positive about each other. And I know there are people among us that are struggling. I know there are people among us that are having family issues. Cindy and I are having family issues. But it's important that we not radiate to the community a critical view of one another. And we haven't been guilty of that, but it's one of those things that is happening somewhat, and we have a tendency to go that way when we work with people that have struggles. Number 11, interpreting Scripture involves judgment. We've had this discussion before. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 15, I speak to sensible people, judge for yourselves what I say. And then 1 Corinthians 11, beginning with verse 13, judge for yourselves. If anyone wants to be contentious about this, we have no other practice, neither do the churches of God. I want to bring that to the next one, but I think it's important to understand that the context of that passage is hair length. Suppose we have somebody who wants to preach here and they got hair, a male who has hair down to their waist. Is that an issue? Paul says in this passage, I speak to sensible people, judge yourselves. If anyone wants to be contentious about this, we in the church have no such practice. We need to understand that interpreting Scripture involves judgment, and we need to stick to the basics. And that brings me to number 12. I call this doctrinal nitpicking. That's my term, doctrinal nitpicking. Colossians 2, verse 16. Listen to this passage carefully. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. You go on to verse 23. Such regulations indeed have the appearance of wisdom, with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Okay, Mother's Day is coming up. I've already had a letter. Don't preach us another Mother's Day sermon. Actually, I probably will. I haven't gotten that far yet. But I think it's important to understand that what this says is that if somebody wants to observe Christmas, if somebody wants to observe Easter, if somebody wants to observe Memorial Day, if they want to observe the 4th of July, and I can rattle on here for a long time, what does this passage say? What's interesting is that this passage gets into really controversial areas. Let me read that again. Don't let anybody judge you by what you eat or drink with regard to the religious festival. Religious festival. You know, there could be a religious festival that the community involves. And I still remember sitting down there when it was cold in December and watching Bill Gibson lead the entire city of Dowagiac in a Christmas carol. What a wonderful opportunity to say to the community, we're part of you. What a wonderful opportunity to present a positive image. A new moon celebration. What was that? That was when there was a new moon. Everybody had a special prayer service. You know, if we did that now, I suppose there'd be congregations around here that would write up their church bulletin about us. You know? And yet, Paul says, that's okay. Don't worry about that. Don't even worry about Sabbath days. Such regulations have the appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship. See, people who criticize that want to impose their concept of worship. The key there, Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 3, make every effort to keep unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Boy, brothers and sisters, that's where it is. Make every effort. So don't be political. Don't be condemning. Don't impugn people's motives. Don't get off on these side issues. Don't judge on appearance. And don't be critical of others. The passage says so clearly, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you called to one hope when you were called. And here's what we need to focus on, brothers and sisters. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. That's what our message is. Not whether you like Obama or not. Not whether you like the Republican Party or not, whether we should endorse the Tea Party, blah, 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 blah. You know, that's not what we're about. Not what the judgment should be about whether we're too old or too young. But we still are called to judge. We have to judge who is receptive. And our determination of doing the fair and our determination of doing the stuff out here, and putting the little sign out there that Walter wanted out there, those are things that indicate the receptivity of the community. We have to be concerned about assessing who we're going to reach out to. We have to be careful to use every tool we can to settle disputes that develop among us. We need to stand for what is right. We need to be sure that we're not associated with the wrong forces in the world. Been quite a bit of criticism about my statements about the casino. I don't see how you can look at what is associated with the casino. And I had a discussion with one of the Indians out here the other day when I was putting up the sign. And apparently somebody had said something to them about it. And I told him, well, how do you view the casino? And he says, it's licensed looseness. I like that term. I told him, I thought, that's good. Licensed looseness. What do you mean? He said, we use the loose elements of society to bring good things to our people. I said, I think there's a better way. But it's obvious what is involved in that. And we need to be sure when we interpret Scripture, we explain why we believe what we believe. And that's what we're doing. Tonight, we're going to study Psalms a little bit more. We're going to do some singing tonight of the Psalms. And we've been looking at how we understand the book of Revelation. Our entire Bible school program has been trying to help us understand better God's Word. But there's judgments involved. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. You have to use judgment to do that, folks. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. I hope when you look at this business of judging that you'll give consideration to what we have here. And if you're listening to this on the website, we have an outline in the bulletin, and if you will contact us, we will be glad to mail you a copy of that outline. I've had a couple of connections there as well. But we have a song that's kind of interesting that Bill picked up on our theme this morning. Number 744, what will your answer be? Someday you'll stand at the bar on high. Okay, that's talking about final judgment, isn't it? Someday your record you'll see. Second Santa, sadly you'll stand if you're unprepared. Trembling you'll fall on your knee, facing the sentence of life or death. What will that sentence be? That's the judging we're most concerned about. And that's the judging that we have assurances from God about. So if you're here this morning, if you have a need, if we need to pray with you, if you are not a Christian, if you have allowed perhaps bad judgment to put you at odds with God's Word, we encourage you to correct that this morning. Don't be worried about that sentence. God's final judgment, you have promised that the blood of Christ will continually cleanse us if we will walk in His way, walk in the light. And judging is part of that walking in the light. If you need to respond to His invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing, please come.